This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. How bad, really, is the Boston area housing market? In recent days, we've been hit by a flurry of reports about an increasingly weak real estate market, including falling home prices.
Just yesterday, Zillow, the real estate website, reported that home prices across the U.S. fell 3% in the first quarter, and that housing prices could plunge as much as 9% by the end of the year.
It sounds bleak, but what's going on in the local Boston real estate market? In a moment, we'll have experts to answer your questions about all this, including Chip Case, the retired Wellesley College professor who co-founded the Case-Shiller Index.
But first, some of the latest numbers from WBUR's business and technology reporter, Kurt Nikisch. Kurt, a new forecast that I see this week projects a drop in Massachusetts home prices by as much as 6.5%. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Meghna, this forecast is actually based on the Case-Shiller home price tracking. It was put together by the financial services consulting company Fiserv, and it's kind of sobering. Even what we think of as strong housing markets are still expected to slip this week. Boston, Quincy metro area down 4.8%. Newton, Cambridge metro area down 4.4%. Worcester is the one that goes down by 6.5%. So that's the forecast.
So, I mean, but that being a forecast, we are in reality in the middle of the spring housing market, which we would think is the strongest time of the year. So what's actually happening on the ground?
It's been kind of a weird spring market to think about, because everybody's sort of been holding their breath, knowing that it was never going to be as good as last year when this home buyer tax credit really juiced sales. And so realtors and home sellers were sort of holding their breath, waiting to see what activity would be like. Instead of sighs of relief, though, we're really getting exasperation. It's slow out there, not anywhere near normal, even when you forget how great last year was. Of course, every market is different, as they say in those TV spots, but the hope that the housing market would have stabilized by now and started to rebound, it just hasn't happened yet.
Okay, so if we're not seeing a rebound, is this the dreaded double dip then?
It is a double dip when you look at the charts, but it makes it sound like, you know, the housing market recovered, then fell again. That's what you'd think of with a double dip, and that's not really the case. I mean, the recovery really was only this artificial one that boosted home sales with this artificial boost last year. Taxpayers were basically subsidizing home sales to the tune of $8,000 a pop. And so in essence, it's not a double dip, but rather a prolonged downturn in home sales and prices, but just with this artificial spike in the center that temporarily boosted sales. In fact, Fiserv chief economist David Stiff says the tax credit actually slowed the recovery.
I mean, what the tax credit did was it delayed the correction that was due to happen in many markets. It pushed out by a year or a year and a half the amount of time it will take for prices to fully correct.
So, Kurt, then when are we expected to have that true correction in the Boston market?
Well, Stiff says it's still going on. Fiserv thinks that a lot of the Massachusetts metro areas will finally reach bottom sometime yet this year. Worcester, for instance, not until the beginning of next year. Reaching bottom, unfortunately, doesn't mean bouncing back anytime soon. It's a pretty soft landing. Boston, Quincy metro area housing market. Fiserv expects it to improve 2.2% next year. Adjust that for inflation. I mean, that's basically flat.
Wow. So we'll be staying at the bottom maybe for some time soon. WBUR's business and technology reporter, Kurt Nikisch, thank you so much.
You got it.
So how bad is it really? Are we really in the midst of a double dip? Some analysts, as we heard, expect the market to start recovering in the coming months. Are they right? All this raises important questions for Boston area homeowners and renters, including questions like, is this a good time to buy or is it wiser to wait? And if real estate is a local business, what parts of the local real estate market are truly hurting and what parts are actually doing relatively well? Listeners, we want you to join our conversation. Are you hoping to buy? Are you staying put in a rental? Are you optimistic that the market has hit bottom or worried that we're still crashing? You can give us a call. What questions do you have? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And joining us in the studio is Scott Van Voris. He's a real estate blogger and columnist for Boston.com. And Scott, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Good to have you. And by phone from Vancouver, British Columbia, Chip Case. He's a retired Wellesley College economist and a co-founder of the Case-Shiller Index, which tracks the real estate market across the U.S. And thanks for joining us today, Chip Case. Good to have you.
I think it'll be fun.
I think it will, too. Let me start with you, Chip, if I could. First, big question, big picture, the sort of national look. Can you give us a sense of the national picture? Is the market crashing again? Is this a double dip?
Well, I'm not in the forecasting business, but I'll give you some opinion mixed in with some data.
Sure.
I mean, if you look at the housing market 10 years ago, it was booming dramatically, and we got used to it because we had a period of time from 75 when good data started being collected till now, really to from 1975 to 2005, when house prices nationally never fell. And in fact, people in the Northeast and in California got used to the cycle. Well, it'll go down a little bit when you have a recession, but it's going to come back and come back strong. I bought my first house in Wellesley for $54,000. I sold it for $250,000 a few years later. And so I came to the housing market to trade up with a lot of cash. And people made more money living in their homes than they made teaching. I was teaching at the time, and I made more money in my house. But that was we had to not believe that could go on forever, but we somehow did. And if you serve – Bob Schiller and I have been surveying people's attitudes for years, and people – inevitably think that house prices are going to come back because they've seen nothing but up, basically. New England had one of the only down periods, actually even around the country, and that occurred in the late 1980s when house prices dipped a very small amount, about 13%. Now, starting in about 2005, we were the first city, by the way, Boston, to decline. We came off a period of very rapid growth between 2000 and 2005. In that period of time, we added $10 trillion to the stock of wealth in the U.S. $5 trillion of that was increase in land around the Northeast and California, and $5 trillion was increase in new buildings on the balance sheet. We're now giving $6 trillion of that back, and we have a lot more to give back. And the question is, what's going to be left of the housing market when this cycle is over? One of the tragedies has been the home building sector.
Mm-hmm.
Housing construction is at 60-year lows, and it's been there for 30 months, which is just catastrophic. I mean, it's catastrophic in terms of its effect on jobs and employment, both in this region and around the country. Massachusetts is doing a little better than the country in general in terms of employment growth, but it's not avoiding the catastrophic collapse in the building sector. Yeah. And it's partially because we blasted through the recession of 2002 with stimulus and easy money, and then we had the subprime affair where the demand for housing was just expanded dramatically. It led to us building lots of homes. If you track, and you can do this regionally or nationally, new home construction relative to the new number of new households coming into the system. We've been building practically nothing, but the vacancy rate's been rising. Mm. And the only conclusion from that is we're not forming households. Immigrants aren't coming. Jobs aren't here. People are doubling up. People who don't get jobs are staying with mom and dad. That's all putting downward pressure on home prices. Inventories are at very high levels. And eventually this will clear up, but it's going to take time.
Well, let me ask you that, Carl Case. I mean, let me ask you about that, Chip. You say eventually it's going to take time. I know you said you're not in the business of predicting, but
right.
How much time do you think?
Well, first of all, Massachusetts didn't go up as far as the rest of the country did this. So we went up 83%. That sounds like a ton. But the country more than doubled in terms of house prices. So we've come down. We're only down from the peak at about 18%. So if you think of it from this standpoint, you're a potential buyer. You've got a market that's relatively stable. Is there going to be a better time coming up soon? Answer is probably not. Prices are down nationally 30%, in Massachusetts down 18 or 19%. Some condo developments have prices slashed by a third. Interest rates are at record lows. And if you think about the yield on investing in a house, it's really quite interesting if you think about it this way. House is a consumer durable good, so is your car. Now, you don't worry about whether your car is going to go up or down in value because it's going to yield a yield to you. It's an investment that's going to come over time in the form of transportation services. If you look at a house, it's the same thing. And if you look at the dividend on owning a house, it's the fact that you live in it. Think about buying it outright. Live in it tax-free. You get a yield in the form of living in the house. it's about a 5 or 6% yield on your investment, and it comes tax-free. So in historical terms, and if you look back over time, there hadn't been a better time than this to buy. Why aren't people doing it? Because they now know that prices will fall. And so you're dealing with the fragility of human emotion. And so I think that there's going to be more activity than we think. These numbers, the Case-Shiller numbers, which I think, of course, are the best, we only have them for February. Zillow, I like Zillow. They're a very interesting tool to play with on the computer, but it's not a formal and consistent way of measuring price change. They use a lot of different data sources. They do ad factoring. Ours is very simple. Looks at repeat sales.
Hold that thought there, Chip Case, because I want to bring Scott Van Voorhis into this conversation as well.
Me too.
Scott, what do you make? I mean, I guess one of the questions that Chip Case raised there is with interest rates at historic lows, with all kinds of opportunities to buy out there with prices down, it's inevitable that the market will come back. When is it going to come back?
Yeah, I mean, it will eventually will come back, and in some ways, this is sort of the medicine no one wants to take. The decline in prices has been put off by the home buyer tax credit, and that just delayed the inevitable, and now we're seeing that. People have been calling a bottom to the market for a couple of years now, so it's a risky business. Maybe the Boston area before Worcester, but it's tough, and a lot of it's tied up with human emotion and psychology and expectations. And right now, there's a feeling, whether it's rational or not, that if I just wait among buyers, if I just wait and keep waiting, well, you know, there's no urgency. Maybe that's a good deal, but if I wait, they'll lower the price again. Or I'll come back around next year, and the house will be back on the market, and I'll get a really good deal.
Now, Scott, since 2005, prices in the greater Boston area, I guess across Massachusetts, have fallen about 20%, 20-plus%, I think. You've written, argued in a column, that this might even be good news. You wrote, as an alcoholic finally coming to grips with his drinking problems after denying it for years, this is probably a good thing. Talk a little about that. What's good about a decline of 20-plus% in local property values?
It's hard for people who've already bought a house. I bought a house in 2002 and added on to it, and so that doesn't help your values. But on the other hand, I think prices did got out of whack during the so-called real estate bubble, and because of easy financing, the values got beyond median incomes. It could be very hard for people to buy. As anybody who's tried to buy a house in the $300,000-$400,000 range in Greater Boston has found, it's not an easy market. So something had to, here and nationally, had to give. Values outstrip incomes, and now maybe in some ways it's a resetting. It's painful, but I'm certainly not a fan of watching buyers continue to be boxed out, even if I have a house of my own. There's a correction that's happening that we'll probably end up with a healthier, more rational market.
Mm. Listeners, we're talking about the local housing market. Are you hoping to buy? Are you staying put in a rental? Are you optimistic that the market has hit bottom, or are you worried that we're still crashing? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Here in the studio is Scott Van Voorhis. He's a real estate blogger and a columnist at Boston.com. We've also got Chip Case, retired economist from Wellesley College and co-founder of the Case-Shiller Index. Let's take a call from Steve, who's calling from Winthrop. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm wondering if the fact that real estate is changing hands so sluggishly means that we might be looking at a return to a sort of medieval system where you've got the people with the land and the people who rent the land. Are we looking at a system where, the dream of owning a home is kind of slipping away from people? Is it really going in that direction?
Well, there's a sort of macroeconomic question for our economists. What do you think, Chip Case? What do you think about Steve's question?
I'm not sure about the medieval part, but it's certainly true that we're going to probably have less ownership.
Yeah.
and more rental. Not that the landlords today are usually small building owners. They're not big manor holders. But if you think about why, one of the reasons, of course, is that this change in psychology and people's expectations were that they would always gain if they bought. That's gone. The other thing is happening on the finance side. Fannie and Freddie have a lot of paper. They've purchased a lot of mortgages to securitize. And the value of that paper has gone down because is going to go down because the risk is going to be sold back into the private sector eventually, an awful lot of it. Same with the stuff insured by FHA. So once that risk gets back in the marketplace, people who are applying for loans are going to find it difficult to get them without paying a big premium for some kind of insurance or some kind of guarantee to get the loan accepted. And the acceptance rates are probably going to be falling to fairly low levels. At the same time, we've got the specter of inflation coming down the road. And inflation generally means higher interest rates. Already German Central Bank raised interest rates in Europe, and there's a great deal of talk about rates coming back up. So if rates come back up and at the same time something's done about Fannie and Freddie's and the FHA's liability, so that puts a risk premium on top of the general rise in interest rates, the financing side is going to be tougher than it is now, and it's already tough on people.
So that doesn't sound like terribly good news in terms of lifting this market up. Let's get involved someone on the front lines of this issue. Patty Nags is a real estate agent. She's based in Beverly on the North Shore. And Patty Nags, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So give us a sense of what you're seeing out there. This is Essex County. You sell in places like Beverly, Peabody, Danvers, Gloucester, Rockport. What are you seeing out there in terms of this discussion about whether we're seeing a bottom to this market?
Well, statistically, when I look at the MLS data, I see the bottom currently in the first quarter for 2009. Are we still falling? We're not falling lower than 2009, where the median price was $280,000. Since that time, we have bounced a little higher, and depending on the quarter, we have come back up and down. So I see us bouncing around. Mm. The other interesting thing I see is as it pertains to the medieval manor, question that one of our listeners posed, I actually see a huge amount of people entering the market as first-time buyers, which, going back to our blog guest, is...
Scott Van Boris, right.
Scott is... we are actually opening up the market to a large percentage of people who, at the peak, say 2005, could not enter the market. So I see a lot of great... good moderation going on, and
well, good. Okay, so let me just sort of flip that over, Patty. You mentioned Scott. Scott Van Voorhis, have you seen anything like this? I mean, what Patty's talking about, the opportunities for some folks?
I mean, there definitely are opportunities. I mean, I think it got very hard for people of middle income in the middle income range to buy. During the the bubble years, up to 2005 when prices peaked. So I think there are definitely a wider range of opportunities out there. It's still a tough area, I think, for a lot of folks, even with the downturn. If you're talking about the closer you get into Boston, Cambridge, Davis Square, some of these perpetual hotspots, you can get into bidding wars even now. So it's not. Totally open, but it's certainly an improvement, I think, for folks. But the fear is, I think, for among other people, is, well, if I buy now, prices are going to go down. Now, if you take a longer view and you buy now and 10 years from now, well, maybe it would all wash out.
And if you don't buy now, of course, there's the risk that interest rates are going to go up and it's going to be tougher to buy. They certainly can't go lower than they are right now, right?
Sure. I mean, that's the other fear. You don't buy now and interest rates go up, and it's hard to time. I mean, try to time the stock market. It's hard to time this stuff. So that's the other side of it.
Well, let's take another call. Joy is calling from Maynard. Hi, Joy.
Hi. So my husband and I own a condominium in Maynard, Massachusetts, which is a great town, and we want to stay in Maynard, and we hope to buy a single-family home. We tried to sell our condo last year and couldn't. We didn't even get anyone interested in looking at the place. So we've decided we're going to rent it out, and we're going to keep both properties, buy a new house, and keep our current condo.
And hold on to that condo and hope for better times down the road. Is that the idea?
Hope you may. We would like to sell it eventually. our best hope is to break even. But if we sold it now, we'd probably lose at least $20,000.
Joy, thanks so much for the call. Patty Nags, what do you hear in Joy's story? I know that's not your part of the state, but it sounds like a good decision she made. And are you seeing folks making that kind of decision?
I hear that decision repeatedly. Anybody who purchased, say, from 2002 forward could be in a similar situation. She's in a better situation than a lot of consumers that I meet, that she is able to go forward and purchase something else. But most people have to stay put until the market changes.
Hmm. Let's get another call. Joe is calling from Worcester. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm just calling because I've just been listening, and it's funny, like, I'm hearing all this negative stuff because about Massachusetts. I actually agree, even though I'm building a house here in Worcester, I also just recently bought a house down in Florida, northeast part in St. Augustine. And because the opportunity there is so great, I told some friends of mine, and a friend just bought literally a week ago the house right next door to mine, because I told them I picked up a four-year-old, three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home with a garage for $79,000.
Oh, boy.
I needed absolutely no work done to it, and I'm a contractor.
Yeah.
So I know what I'm looking at, and this place needed nothing. I'm sitting around in the house just a week ago, going, how in the world could I buy a house like this? The same thing back in Massachusetts cost me $250,000 or more, depending on where you go. So, but my main point is that I had property down there that I'm going to build a house on, but I chose not to do that rather than just buy this house. So I bought this house. I have a motorhome that I kept on a campground site that I pay $350 a month for. I was able to buy this house with the rates right now at $320 a month.
Gee, what do you, Chip Case, what do you hear in Joe's story?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, the market will eventually turn this around, even in the states of Florida, Arizona, and Nevada, which are the hardest hit with the number of foreclosures. They just overbuilt. But they overbuilt in states that are going to be gaining population.
I see.
And people are not going to stop going to Florida and Arizona and Nevada. And so eventually that excess will be picked up and prices will return. They're below construction costs now. And that means that was a true bargain, and there are bargains to be had down there. And when there are bargains, people move. They take advantage of them. And the same thing is occurring in Boston. There are places. I mean, there are places that have never seen any decline at all, because they're desirable places, and a lot of people want to live there. And there's a scarce amount of land in them.
And Scott Van Voorhis, you've written about this actually, and sort of make the point that the real estate business is essentially a local business. So, you know, we can talk about numbers overall,
sure,
but there's some places where properties have held their values and are hot, as Chip Case
says. It's a very micro business. And for example, on homes along 128, communities on 128, it's, if you look at it from, you know, 2005 on, it really hasn't been a lot of movement in prices. It's been, you know, a few percent here or there, but compared to what, you know, you're seeing out in Nevada or, you know, Florida, it's nothing. Go farther out on 495 and it's a different story. It's maybe 18-20%. So it depends where you are. Well located, you know, homes that are in good condition or condos that are in good condition that are in a reasonable price range get in these areas, usually end up, you know, they're in a sweet spot in terms of, you know, having buyers and maybe even getting a competition for them.
Let's try and get at least one more call in here. Brian is calling from Billerica. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to add that, you know, I bought my house at the peak, and, you know, I didn't put a lot of money down. It didn't need to at the time. You know, the financing was easy. And, you know, now I'm selling my house in 2 weeks. I'm taking about a $60,000 loss. And it's, you know, it's something that I've accepted because, you know, it's just where the market's at. I don't see that I would be able to recover that within, you know, 10 years. You know, I just can't predict where that would go. And, you know, just for my family, I need to make this change and make this happen. So it's just one of these, you know.
So you just got to swallow the loss and move on pretty much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, had the financing not been as easy back then, you know, I probably would have tried some, you know, probably wouldn't have been in this situation. But
well Brian, thanks for the call, and I wish you well. Chip Case, a story like Brian's, I mean, he's making a decision here that it's sort of better to move on and even take the loss.
The thing that we forget, yeah, when we're both buyers or sellers, is that when you own a home, if price goes up in the marketplace, so does yours, and so you don't have to pay in a way the increase in housing costs that you would otherwise have to pay. And when your house goes down in value, you can sell it for less, but buying a new house is also cheaper. So as the market moves, you're helped in the fact when it goes down that you're presumably going to be buying or looking at another place to live. And if you're looking to buy, it's probably a much cheaper time to buy, and prices are much lower. So even though he lost $60,000 in his house, he's picking up a house that he would have paid much more for before.
Right.
Do you
right.
see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Brian, thanks for that call. Scott Van Voorhis, I think we have time, just a few seconds left. And sort of final question. I mean, what's your sort of bottom line feel about where we're going to be, say, by the end of the summer?
Well, by the end of the summer, I think we're going to be farther along in this correction, and maybe if we're lucky, by the end of the year, things will start to, the price declines will start to slow down, and there'll be some light at the end of the tunnel.
Light at the end of the tunnel. So let's end there with a slight note of optimism. Scott Van Voorhis, real estate blogger and columnist at Boston.com. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And Chip Case, co-founder of the Case-Shiller Index, retired Wellesley Professor of Economics. Always a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Sure. And Patty Nags, real estate agent with RE/MAX Advantage in Beverly. Patty, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And listeners, don't go away. There's more to come. Still ahead, how a surgeon, an occasional grave robber, and the fastest amputator in New England went on to found one of the world's greatest hospitals. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.